This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
In just a few days, I will be in Turkey, traveling with our group, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, going from Antioch in the east, where Jesus' disciples were first called Christians, all the way to Ephesus in the west. In preparation for this visit, I read a new book called Archaeology and the Ministry of Paul, and interviewed author David DeSilva. He's professor of New Testament Greek at Ashland Theological Seminary. In the first part of our conversation, we discuss this Antioch, as well as Antioch and Pisidia, plus Tarsus, Paul's hometown, and another city called Perga. Most of these were part of Paul's first missionary journey. Some other cities from that journey, such as Derbe and Lystra, have not seen much archaeology yet.
Turkey has devoted a lot of attention to archaeology to benefit historians as well as tourists, but apparently it hasn't reached those cities yet.
Nope, those are just grass-covered mounds still. It's very sad. And so was Colossae until very recently.
Yes.
New excavations only began in the last year.
You haven't had a chance to see those.
No. Unfortunately, just the grass-covered mound.
I think perhaps we have a lot of ground to cover on those particular days, so maybe spending more time on the bus as we pass through that part of Turkey. Antioch and Pisidia, as you mentioned earlier, is a really good site.
It is. And not to micromanage your tour, but it would be great if you make sure you get to the Yalvach Archaeological Museum as well, just to see where some of the movable objects from Pisidia and Antioch got. There's some good carvings there that attest to the local god Men, a kind of moon god, as well as all the recovered pieces of that inscription I'd mentioned about the things accomplished by the divine Augustus, the res gestae divi Augusti.
And thinking about Paul's writings, which make up so much of the New Testament, one of his earliest books, I think, is the letter to Galatians, and maybe that was written to Antioch and Pisidia and the Christians there?
So I would think so. I'm a big fan of the so-called South Galatian theory of the audience of Galatians, in large measure because we actually only have clear textual evidence that Paul evangelized the southern part of Galatia. So in my own Galatians commentary, I do read Galatians as addressing Pisidian Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. And archaeology helps us with Pisidian Antioch. And we could think about how Paul's gospel plays against a major city, a Roman colony, many of whose inhabitants have direct connections with and a sense of loyalty and gratitude to the emperor for having been settled there and granted plots of land and relief from taxes as their grandparents settled and made the city happen. So again, the subversiveness of this gospel message in a Roman colony. You could almost think of Paul colonizing the Roman world on behalf of the kingdom of God.
The Roman world benefited the spread of the gospel through the Roman roads and other innovations and things that they had. So Paul certainly took advantage of that.
Some good Roman roads in Pisidian Antioch. Both the Cardo and the Decumanus have been fairly well excavated, so you get a good sense of the layout of that city.
And just thinking about Paul walking all of those miles, that's just incredible in terms of the mileage and the time it took.
Well, it's hard to imagine, but he probably put in 20 miles a day when he traveled between cities.
Well, we will continue on to the western part of Turkey. There are cities there that typically are associated with the book of Revelation, but also were connected to the ministry of Paul. He was in Ephesus for 2 or 3 years, a long time, and really established Ephesus as a basis of ministry to that part of the Roman province of Asia.
He did indeed. I think he spent somewhere between 2 and 3 years there himself, and he had a large team working in and around Ephesus, some of whom might have continued there for years after, pushing the gospel into other neighboring cities throughout the province of Asia. Like Epaphras took the gospel to Laodicea, Colossae, and Hierapolis. But yeah, Ephesus is going to be the crown jewel of your itinerary, I have no doubt. And those traveling Ephesus are in for an amazing treat, because that is an extensively excavated site, much of which puts you right in the first century.
Yeah, I remember visiting there about a quarter century ago and walking down that long street. We did not get into the homes that have been excavated. That was a separate part of the tour, I guess. But that's, like Pompeii, I guess, a good example of how people lived in the first century.
It would be an example of how the top 1% lived in the first century. Yes, you must see the terrace houses on your next visit. But and they could have come right out of Pompeii in terms of the mosaics and frescoes and architecture. But you are indeed looking at the houses of the ultra elite in Ephesus.
And one of the other major features, of course, is the theater, which played significantly in Paul's ministry.
It did indeed. You've seen that before. It's this impressive structure that could hold an estimated 25,000 spectators. Unfortunately, the heart of the city's pride that led to that riot, the Temple of Artemis, is just utterly barren. It was entirely mined for its cut rocks to build the Basilica of St. John in the 5th century and medieval fortifications in the Seljuk period. But yes, the site of the riot is really well preserved.
Also heard that some of the elements, maybe the columns from the Temple of Artemis, may have ended up at the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul.
I've heard that. I've heard various theories about that. I don't know how true any of them are. There was a time when I believed myself that some of the pillars of the harbor baths, the sort of red granite pillars there, ended up in Hagia Sophia. But other archaeologists have disabused me of any certainty in that regard.
I think I saw in your book that one of the doors from a temple in Tarsus ended up at Hagia Sophia.
Not Hagia Sophia, I don't think, but another church there in Istanbul. But yes, this gorgeous bronze door, which is probably 15 feet high. You are right. I was just looking it up in my book. It is a side entrance to Hagia Sophia. So yes, the Byzantine emperors were not above recycling the treasures from the East in their own constructions in Constantinople.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with David De Silva, the author of the book Archaeology and the Ministry of Paul. We're talking about some of the sites that we will be visiting in our tour of Turkey coming up in just a few weeks, and also some of the other sites that figured very importantly in the ministry of Paul. You mentioned briefly Epaphras and his impact on the cities of Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. They are mentioned in the letters of Paul. So he credits Epaphras with, I guess, being an evangelist to that part of Turkey.
He says that he's labored hard on your behalf, but he's also the only name we have attached to those congregations at all that might suggest he was the founder. He was the one who took the message to all three of those. And while Colossae is underwhelming, Laodicea and Hierapolis have both been marvelously excavated. Are they on your itinerary?
Yes, they are.
Excellent.
I know in the early years of this program, decades ago, we used to mention that Laodicea was not excavated. But since then, there's been a huge amount of work done there.
And at lightning speed, the archaeologist there, Celal Şimşek, has gotten quite the reputation for speedy excavation and reconstruction. So every time I've gone there, there's been something new to see. Most dramatically, the Western Theater, which was just a shambles, a grass-covered, mud-covered thing, when you could see some of the top seats before COVID. And then right after COVID, it was completely excavated. It looked as beautiful and clean and fresh as the theater in Ephesus, only smaller. So yes, they are really working hard to make Laodicea an equal attraction to Ephesus.
And Hierapolis has some interesting features also.
It does, particularly the travertine mineral cascades, which almost look like a snow-covered mountain. But these are just mineral deposits that have been left there by the thermal waters that were prized for their healing powers there and still are to this day. If you stop at one of the hotels near there, you might find hot water pools with signs advertising their healing capacity. But of course, Hierapolis itself has a beautiful theater from the second century. It has a very distinctive cult center. There are very few temples to Hades, the god of the underworld in the Greco-Roman world. But there's one in Hierapolis, which was attached to a fissure in the rocks that emitted noxious gases, so that when the priests took sacrificial victims in there, they emerged asphyxiated corpses. The sacrificial victims, not the priests. They were trained to hold their breath. So that's really kind of an odd thing to think that you live in a city that is one of the entrances to the underworld. That has a way on their minds.
Well, we do not have cities in Greece on our itinerary for this trip, but of course, Paul's ministry took him there as well, perhaps most prominently to Athens. There are things to see in Athens that date back to the time of Paul as well, in addition to all the classical beauties that are there.
Yeah, yes, indeed. The Roman Forum in Athens, which is very rarely visited by your basic tour group. Everyone goes to the Acropolis and the Areopagus, which is probably not where the council was meeting by the time we got to the first century. But very few people walk the extra couple of blocks to the Roman Forum that was built there in the time of Julius and Augustus, which was certainly then a first century feature that Paul would have frequented as he did his open-air preaching, in addition to the more traditional classical agora that the Acropolis overlooks. Athens is the famous place, but Corinth is such a rich archaeological treasure, so worth the extra hour's drive out of Athens. And Philippi, if you can get up to it, it's on the complete other side of Greece from Athens, but I spent two really rich days walking around that site and walking the Via Egnatia. You had mentioned how much time Paul spent on the Roman roads, but there is a half-mile stretch of the Via Egnatia excavated between the port of Cavala, which we know as Neapolis in the Acts narrative, and Philippi. So Greece must be your next adventure.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be good. Well, our thanks to David De Silva. The book is called The Archaeology and the Ministry of Paul. It's published by Baker Academic. We'd like to remind you that we have a link to this book on our website, as well as other resources. Our website is at radioscribe.com. There you'll find breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, and also information about Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. It's all at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to tune in again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.